Well, welcome to everybody out there. The day is Sunday, March the 12th, day 71 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone. My name's Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're spending some time in God's Word. We're letting His Word spend some time on us. And oh, how we need that. Well, today we are continuing on in the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 19 through 21. Then we finish our reading in Galatians chapter 3. Let's jump right in. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Cities of Refuge. When the Lord your God destroys the nations whose land he is giving you, you will take over their land and settle in their towns and homes. Then you must set apart three cities of refuge in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Survey the territory and divide the land the Lord your God is giving you into three districts, with one of these cities in each district. Then anyone who has killed someone can flee to one of these cities of refuge for safety. If someone kills another person unintentionally without previous hostility, the slayer may flee to any of these cities to live in safety. For example, suppose someone goes into the forest with a neighbor to cut wood, and suppose one of them swings an axe to chop down a tree, and the axe head flies off the handle, killing the other person. In such cases, the slayer may flee to one of the cities of refuge to live in safety. If the distance to the nearest city of refuge is too far, an enraged avenger might be able to chase down and kill the person who caused the death. Then the slayer would die unfairly, since he had never shown hostility toward the person who died. That is why I am commanding you to set aside three cities of refuge. And if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your ancestors, and gives you all the land he promised them, you must designate three additional cities of refuge. He will give you this land if you are careful to obey all the commands I have given you. If you always love the Lord your God and walk in his ways, that way you will prevent the death of innocent people in the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. You will not be held responsible for the death of innocent people, but suppose someone is hostile toward a neighbor and deliberately ambushes and murders him and then flees to one of the cities of refuge. In that case, the elders of the murderer's hometown must send agents to the city of refuge to bring him back and hand him over to the dead person's avenger to be put to death. Do not feel sorry for that murderer. Purge from Israel the guilt of murdering innocent people. Then all will go well with you. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession, you must never steal anyone's land by moving the boundary markers your ancestors set up to mark their property. You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness comes forward and accuses someone of a crime, then both the accuser and the accused must appear before the Lord by coming to the priests and judges in office at that time. The judges must investigate the case thoroughly. If the accuser has brought a false charge against his fellow Israelite, you must impose on the accuser the sentence he intended for the other person. In this way, you will purge such evil from among you. Then the rest of the people will hear about it and be afraid to do such an evil thing. You must show no pity for the guilty. Your rule should be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Deuteronomy chapter 20, Regulations Concerning War. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. The Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt is with you. When you prepare for battle, the priest must come forward to speak to the troops. He will say to them, "Listen to me, all you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out to fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory." Then the officers of the army must address the troops and say, "Has anyone here just built a new house, but not yet dedicated it? If so, you may go home. You might be killed in battle, and someone else might dedicate your house. Has anyone here just planted a vineyard, but not yet eaten any of its fruit? If so, you may go home. You might die in battle, and someone else would eat the first fruit. Has anyone here just become engaged to a woman but not yet married her? Well, you may go home and get married. You might die in battle, and someone else would marry her. Then the officers will also say, Is anyone here afraid or worried? If you are, you may go home before you frighten anyone else. When the officers have finished speaking to the troops, they will appoint the unit commanders. As you approach a town to attack it, you must first offer its people terms of peace. If they accept your terms and open the gates to you, then all the people inside will serve you in forced labor. But if they refuse to make peace and prepare to fight, you must attack the town. When the Lord your God hands the town over to you, use your swords to kill every man in the town. But you may keep for yourself all the women, children, livestock, and other plunder. You may enjoy the plunder from your enemies that the Lord your God has given you. But these instructions apply only to distant towns, not to the towns of the nations in the land you will enter. In those towns that the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, destroy every living thing. You must completely destroy the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, just as the Lord God has commanded you. This will prevent the people of the land from teaching you to imitate their detestable customs in the worship of their gods, which would cause you to sin deeply against the Lord your God. When you are attacking a town and the war drags on, you must not cut down the trees with your axes. You may eat the fruit, but do not cut down the trees. Are the trees your enemies that you should attack them? You may only cut down trees that you know are not valuable for food. Use them to make the equipment you need to attack the enemy town until it falls. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Cleansing for unresolved murder. When you are in the land the Lord your God is giving you, someone may be found murdered in a field, and you don't know who committed the murder. In such a case, your elders and judges must measure the distance from the site of the crime to the nearby towns. When the nearest town has been determined, that town's elders must select from the herd a heifer that has never been trained or yoked to a plow. They must lead it down to the valley that has not been plowed or planted and that has a stream running through it. There in the valley, they must break the heifer's neck. Then the Levitical priest must step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister before him and to pronounce blessings in the Lord's name. They are to decide all legal and criminal cases. The elders of the town must wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken. Then they must say, Our hands did not shed this person's blood, nor did we see it happen. O Lord, forgive your people Israel, whom you have redeemed. Do not charge your people with the guilt of murdering an innocent person. Then they will be absolved of the guilt of this person's blood by following these instructions. You will do what is right in the Lord's sight and will cleanse the guilt of murder from your community. Suppose you go out to war against your enemies and the Lord your God hands them over to you, and you take some of them as captives, and suppose you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and you are attracted to her and want to marry her. If this happens, you may take her to your home, where she must shave her head, cut her nails, and change her clothes she is wearing when she was captured. She will stay in your home, but let her mourn for her father and mother for a full month. Then you may marry her, and you will be her husband, and she will be your wife. But if you marry her and she does not please you, you must let her go free. You may not sell her or treat her as a slave, for you have humiliated her. Suppose a man has two wives, and he loves one and not the other, and both have given him sons, and suppose the firstborn son is the son of the wife he does not love. When the man divides his inheritance, he may not give the larger inheritance to his younger son, the son of the wife he loves, as if he were the firstborn son. He must recognize the rights of his older son, the son of the wife he does not love, by giving him a double portion. He is the first son of his father's virility, and the rights of the firstborn belong to him. Suppose a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or mother, even though they discipline him. In such a case, the father and mother must take the son to the elders as they hold court at the town gate. The parents must say to the elders, This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He is a glutton and drunkard. Then all the men of the town must stone him to death. In this way you will purge this evil from among you. and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. If someone has committed a crime worthy of death and is executed and hung on a tree, the body must not remain hanging on the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. In this way, you will prevent the defilement of the land the Lord your God is giving you as your special possession. Galatians chapter 3. The Law and Faith in Christ. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new life in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believed the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the Scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the Scriptures say, "Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law." So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the Scriptures say, "It is through faith that a righteous person has life." This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scripture, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he pronounced to Abraham, so that we, who are believers, might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promise to Abraham and his child. And notice that the Scriptures doesn't say to his children, as if to mean many descendants. Rather, it says, to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show the people their sins. But the law was designated to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the Scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Before the way of faith in Christ Jesus was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. Amen. Is there anything as disturbing as what we've read today in the book of Deuteronomy? I'm not sure there is in all of Scripture. In these passages, we see the curse of sin, the depths of darkness that the world was plunged into by our rebellion against God. Yet in that darkness, we see here in Galatians a picture, a shadow of the promise, and that shadow is of a tree. A tree of cursing. A tree where the guilty are executed. Where the curse of sin is nailed to. The brokenness we see in Deuteronomy. The war, the idolatry, the slaughter, the slavery. This in no way reflects the heart of God. No, this is a reflection of the heart of man. Our reading in Galatians proves to us that God was not condoning such atrocities. Rather, God had to concede to the reality of the darkness of the human heart. In fact, God was conspiring to bring about an end to this evil by offering Christ as the atoning sacrifice for the sin of the world, for my own sin, for the darkness in my own heart. Christ was hung on Calvary's tree so that I might never be. And Paul's admonition to all those who trust in Christ is to keep on trusting Jesus and to never foolishly believe that somehow we can justify ourselves by going back to an old system, a system that was only about concession to the hardness of our heart. It never was about making that heart new. It never had the power to make that heart new. Paul reminds us that there was never forgiveness in that old path. There was never new life in that old tragic system, marked by the tragedies we've read about. No, Paul wants us to hold tightly to the cross, hold tightly to the gospel, offered to us not on the basis of the law, but on the basis of God's grace and the love of God, as seen clearly on that cross. In the face of Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him we see the heart of God. In him we see the love of God. In him we see the grace and mercy offered to sinners like me. And on that cross we see God reconciling the world to himself by means of his death on the cross so that we might be set free. Hallelujah. And may we never be foolish enough to think that somehow it can be done in any other way. May I never be foolish enough to think that somehow in my heart is a way to be made right with God. No. The way of newness of life is not found in my heart, it's found in his. And that, my friend, is a gift. And I want to live in it today. I want to live in light of that gift today. I want to live in the light of God's good heart for me today. I want to live in the power of the new heart that's been offered to me through him today. That's the prayer I have for my own soul. That's the prayer I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs, and it's always a blessing to hear from you. It really is. Always great to find out who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a body know. Hey, speaking of letting a body know, I want to send a shout out to Carol Dovan and to Karen Folly, friends of a friend who somehow have stumbled upon this podcast. Hey guys, blessings to you both. I also want to send a shout out to Rod and Donna Black. Hey, blessings you guys. I am so blessed to call you friends. Well, I feel so blessed about this podcast. I can't believe that I get to do this. I can't believe that God has blessed me so richly by you, by the connection that I get with you through this thing that we do each day. Amazing. Well, hey, what do you say we share this thing? There are a lot of people out there who are hungry for the Word of God, and we can do a little something about it by simply sharing the podcast with a friend. So we've made that easy by simply going to the app itself, clicking on the Share the App icon there, and you're off and running. Another way that you can share this is by going to the iTunes Store or Google Play and offering up a review for us here. It makes it so much easier for people to find this podcast. So if you will, do us a real solid and go to the iTunes Store and offer us up a review, or at Google Play. Hey, if you haven't signed up for our email newsletter, let me encourage you to do that. You can do that right on the app. And it's a way of keeping up to date with the happenings here at the Daily Radio Bible. You know, some of you might think that this is some big operation since we have the word radio in our title. But let me assure you, this is simply a podcast that my wife and I do here in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm down here in the basement of my house, sitting at a plastic table, a makeshift desk, and it's just the two of us and friends like you who come alongside us and say, hey man, this is something else. We really would like to be a part of it. This is not some radio station with all the resources that you would assume that something that calls itself radio might have. No, it's me and a computer, a borrowed computer, and a microphone, and you. That's all it is. And God's Word, and the ability to come together like this. It's, well, I tend to think it's kind of like a miracle. And I'm so grateful. Hey, if you'd like to partner with us to make sure that this thing continues to survive and thrive, you can do that by going to dailyradiobible.com, click on the partner link. You can also do that right from the app itself. Just click on the icon that says partner. Or if you're old school, you want to mail your gift in, you can do that by mailing it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. I hope you join me. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And you remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.